Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Make Each Day Count, a glance at daily life. In this session, we'll be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, to chapter 4, verse 1, the value of work. Let's read our text, beginning with Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. First, the biblical perspective of work. It is a major part of human life that God takes very seriously. Work has value. It is worth doing. Why? Well, there's two reasons. God is a worker. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In chapter 2 and verse 2, he first revealed himself in the Bible as a worker. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In chapter 2, verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. He continued and continues to work, upholding creation, meeting the needs of his creatures, working out his plan, and he did his greatest work on the cross. And then second, so God is a worker, and then second, God created people to be workers. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Man was created in the image of God, and since God is a worker, man must be a worker too. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Also, God's word doesn't differentiate secular and sacred work. We need to do away with the idea that work is divided into two categories, secular and sacred. Paul said, whatever you do. He didn't support the idea of full-time Christian service and secular careers. William Tyndale, who was burned at the stake for making English translations of the Bible, said, there is no work better than another to please God, to pour water, to wash dishes, to be a cobbler, or an apostle. All is one. Martin Luther, the reformer, said, household tasks have no appearance of sanctity, and yet these very works in connection with the household are more desirable than all the works of monks and nuns. And then second is the significance of work. Sometimes we're not sure that our work, as legitimate and as spiritual as it may be, matters. Sometimes we question the value of our work and the significance of our job. Let's take a few minutes and think about who you are and what you should do with the rest of your life. When work can consume 40 plus hours of our life per week, we should ask ourselves some serious questions. But first, I want to share one of my favorite stories. Why do I work? Verse 23c. Some work for money. We need jobs because we need money. We want to make our lives and our families more comfortable. We want to provide the necessities of life. That's a valid reason to work. Others work for opportunity. Advancement and ambition drive them, whether it means moving to another job or obtaining a promotion within one's present company. Many work toward greater opportunity. That's also a valid reason to work. Still others work for respect, the admiration that good jobs bring, power and authority on the job, and attention from acquaintances and friends at home. But what happens when the money dries up? What happens when the opportunities halt? What if people don't like you? What if there's downsizing? What then? The apostle wrote, "As to the Lord and not to men," verse 23, the second part of it. The key to finding purpose and meaning to your job is connecting what you do all day with what you believe God wants you doing. Is your work God's will for your life? Are you in the place where God wants you to be? For whom do I work? Verse 24, the second part of it. For you serve the Lord Christ. Are you working for a boss, your family, or yourself? Or are you working for God? Our work must be for Him. If we're not working for the Lord, we're wasting our lives. Only work for God is eternal. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Our ultimate boss is Jesus Christ. He's the one we need to please. And when we work for His glory, we will want to do our best for Him. Is my heart in my work? Verse 23, the second part of it. We may not have the most glamorous or best-paying job in the world, but we can still give that job the best we have to offer. Paul reminds us, do it heartily. When we serve our employer, we serve the Lord well. We work for the King. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you're called to be a street sweeper, sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Is it worth it? Verse 24, the first part of it. Paul tells us that those who do their work faithfully from the Lord will receive the reward of the inheritance. A slave's labor in the wheat fields, when done in faithful submission to God, is as worthy of a crown as Paul's preaching at Rome. People complain about poor salaries and benefits. Listen, no matter how little or how much I am paid now, it's nothing compared to my coming reward from God. If we're faithful, one day we can stand before Jesus and hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. It will be far greater than any prize the world offers. You think about that as you approach your work, wherever it is, whatever it is, and you have a great day.